at W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Country music star Toby Keith has died.
I should have been a cowboy.
His family announced his death on his social media sites last hour. Keith had been fighting stomach cancer and told CBS affiliate KOTV recently his Christian faith helped him get through treatments.
I was diagnosed in October of 21. And I was going through all the chemo and the first time I'd been through chemo and radiation surgery. And I just got to a point where I was comfortable with whatever happened. I had my brain wrapped around it and I was in a good spot either way.
I love this bar.
The 62-year-old started out as a rodeo hand, worked the oil fields in Oklahoma, and played semi-pro football. He went on to create 42 top 10 hits. 20 of them hit number one on country music charts. His website says Keith died peacefully, surrounded by his family. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin man convicted of pepper spraying police officers during the January 6th attack of the U.S. Capitol argues he should get a shorter sentence. Federal prosecutors say 41 months in prison is appropriate, but lawyers for Riley Casper of Pulaski says he's matured over these last 3 years. Casper is set to be sentenced on Tuesday. Democratic presidential primary voters in Wisconsin will have a choice after the state Supreme Court Friday ordered Dean Phillips' name to appear on the April ballot. Phillips says the justices made the right call for democracy.
It's so much less about my campaign and just so much more about how we Americans practice democracy and whether we should allow our two big parties to suppress it.
Phillips on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks hit a sour note against the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Utah, 123-108. The Jazz ending a three-game losing streak with a rally in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee. Doc Rivers on facing Utah's best defenders.
We anticipated it, but we thought we could make enough shots to keep their bigs off the floor. We just couldn't.
Rivers, by the way, named the head coach of the NBA's Eastern Conference team in the All-Star game later this month. In Madison, the Badgers battled but lost to number 2-ranked Purdue 75-69. Wisconsin's Greg Gard asked if he still thinks they're one of the top teams in the nation.
Yeah, I think we're one of the best teams in the country. You know, there's parity across college basketball, and I've seen a lot of them now and played against a lot of the non-conference ones, and you want to compete with the best with the goal that you want to be the best. You know, it's not just about playing with them. You want to conquer them.
NFL, the Packers have hired former Rams and Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion to serve as an assistant coach on offense. Tom Clements, who turned 71 this year, is expected to continue as the quarterback's coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have some patchy fog out there again this morning. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly cloudy here throughout the day. Today, our high 42 this afternoon with wind out of the south at around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, down to 33. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47. On Thursday, a little light rain with a high near 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
70 AM, The Zone. You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, you've got to sympathize with those poor folks on the West Coast. California continuing to be barraged with all kinds of moisture, snow in the higher elevations, and a lot of rain in the south. Around Wisconsin, pretty soon it's going to be difficult to find any snow remaining. Temperatures this week going to continue to go up. Today we are going to see cloudy skies. We'll touch out right around 42 degrees. Tomorrow cloudy and 48. Thursday, believe it or not, the 8th day of February in Wisconsin. Rain in the forecast in the afternoon especially. And our daytime high on Thursday, 53 degrees. That's why I say any snow that remains around Wisconsin really going to be tough to find by the end of the day on Thursday. Friday, partly cloudy skies and 45. Saturday, we start to turn the corner back to more normal temperatures. Saturday's highs, 36. Sunday's highs, 36. Here are the five items we want to convey to you in the 50 minutes we've got with you. Let's talk about it. First of all, we'll recognize some of the honorees from the recent Wisconsin Pork Association's Porkapalooza Midwest Dairy Challenge coming to the Green Bay area. And although the name may imply that these are a lot of dairy kids, in reality, a lot of them have no dairy background, and that's not all bad. Super Bowl Sunday spells sales for our Wisconsin specialty cheesemakers. The cattle industry concerned about consumers' reaction to escalating beef prices. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, on the way.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
2023 was a challenging year for dairy farmers, with margins reaching their lowest point since 2009. However, despite that, there's hope for 2024. That's according to Chuck Nicholson, UW-Madison Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences professor. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Nicholson gives an overview of 2023 and what he believes is in store for 2024.
The 2023 storyline is actually not a particularly happy one for a lot of dairy farmers. We saw a market decline from the high prices that we saw in 2022. We saw some continued high feed prices. We got to margins that were as low as what I think of as like the worst possible moment that we saw back in 2009. And the only saving grace on that was that we were mercifully brief in the amount of time that we spent at those margins. We've seen a little bit of recovery in milk prices, and we've seen a little bit of a recovery in terms of feed prices going down since then. So that gives us some signs for hope going forward here.
And speaking of that, what is in store for 2024?
Sure. So we've started to see an adjustment process as the margins have come down. So we've seen declining cow numbers. We're down below where we were in 2022 for sure, and are still heading in that direction for now. We have seen also about stable amount of milk per cow production as what we saw in 2022 during the data we have for 2023. Despite the fact we have the same milk per cow, we have to think about that a little bit differently now because we're actually still making more butter fat. And we've seen a market increase in the amount of butter fat based on feeding strategies and breeding strategies on dairy farms that we're making 11% more butter fat per cow than we used to. So even though we had the same amount of milk per cow, we actually had more butter fat in the marketplace, and we actually kind of needed that for a lot of things heading into the fall.
And how is that affecting now exports and the exchange rates?
What we saw in 2023 was, again, also not part of the most positive story we can tell, but the high prices that we saw in 2022 had buyers in global markets responding as you might think that they would respond. And so we actually saw a decline in sort of the rolling average of the volume of U.S. exports. And it's not the first time that's happened. It happened in 2014. It happened again in 2019. But it's not a really positive story. So as we go forward here, we should see with the adjustments adjustment that we have in the number of cows, the amount of components in the marketplace. We're looking at a little bit brighter future for dairy exports in 2024 than we saw that pattern in 2023. Part of what's going on is that the price alignments for the major products, the dry whey, the skim milk powder, non-fat dry milk, and also to some extent on butter and cheese, U.S. is actually in a pretty good position relative to our competitors in those marketplaces globally. It's a positive sign for increase in those exports for 2024.
And what about that milk price cycle where we're at and the correspondence with feed prices?
So one of the things that I like to point out is that we have these big swings in milk prices that can be up to $10 per hundredweight. And those swings tend to happen on about a three-year cycle. So we get a peak, and then about 3 years later, we get another peak. And in between, unfortunately, we're going to have a trough. We should be past the bottom of the cycle right now. So that big swing in milk prices, we should be past the low part of that cycle. And that gives us hope that we're looking at an upward trend in the milk prices going forward here for 2024. Along with that, we have some projections for feed prices that, unfortunately, for the dairy farmer are above the long-term averages when we think about an overall ration value based on what futures markets are thinking for the major elements of a dairy ration. But they are not projected to increase markedly over 2024. And so we should see some strengthening of the milk prices throughout the year and about stable feed prices, again, at higher than the long-term averages, but making for overall a better margin year than we saw for sure in 2023.
As we know right now, a big thing that's on topic is the federal milk marketing orders. What are some of those impacts with that that you're seeing, or just the overall consensus right now or timeline that we're on?
So there's a lot to unpack there with what's been going on with the hearings for federal milk marketing orders. We have been in a hearing mode on and off since August of 2023 with thousands of words and thousands of pages of testimony provided by all the major U.S. dairy organizations going forward. The key issues really for me come down to whether or not there will be changes in the pricing formulas that will affect the minimum prices for milk that federal milk marketing orders regulate. And a couple of those key changes have to do with this thing we call the make allowance, which is basically a way of helping account for the costs of processing that turn a product price like a pound of cheese into a class 3 milk price. So increases in those make allowance values, like giving more of allowance to account for increased processing costs, will at least in the short term result in a decrease in the farm milk price that would be regulated under the federal milk marketing orders. So that's one thing we need to kind of watch out for as we move through this process. The other thing that I think is really important, and it's also part of the kind of strategy of some of the major dairy organizations, is that if we're going to give away some of the price value on the class 3 milk, that we actually have some offsetting factor, and the offsetting factor there is to try and kind of get more of the value out of the beverage milk market, the class 1 milk market, by raising this thing we call the class 1 differentials, which is sort of the spatial location value of milk and how it differs throughout the United States. So the combination of those two things is designed to at least provide some kind of offset going forward. I really have to add, though, that we have heard a lot of testimony, and USDA is going to have to take all that testimony and, on the basis only of the evidence that they've heard, sort through all of those thousands of words and thousands of pages of documents and figure out what seems to make the most sense. And so we don't know yet how they're going to rule on any of the things that have been presented to them. So there's a lot to look forward to. And one of the things that I and my group are going to be doing is preparing to provide some analysis that helps people sort through what the potential impacts are of those changes once they've been announced by USDA.
Take me through some of those wild cards that we should be watching and paying attention to for 2024.
My basic storyline for 2024 was that we will see margins that are about the long-term average. And by margin, I'm talking about the difference between an all milk price and a ration value that would be typical on a dairy farm. So the good news is we're looking at something that is not particularly stunning or good, but it's also not particularly bad. It's about at the long-term average. But one of the things that we have to be thinking about when we say yes, this is what we project forward, is there's lots of stuff that can happen, and I refer to them as wild cards. One of the wild cards is what's going to happen with the global economy. Generally, people expect there will be good economic growth in the United States, good but not outstanding. There are other estimates that say going forward, we're likely to see some reasonable economic growth in the economies of the world, including those places that are sort of major export markets for us, places like Mexico and China. So if we get that kind of economic growth and we can maintain and maybe reduce the inflation a little bit, that will start to bring some interest rates down, which have been a real pain point for a lot of folks in the agricultural economy and dairy farmers included. We should see some improvements in those elements as well. All that stuff is uncertain going forward. So we're hopeful for those kinds of improvements. They would make a big difference. But economies have ways of surprising us, as we know. Many people have probably heard that we're in a El Nino phase of the climate cycle for the globe. And we know there's some particular impacts that has on heat in the United States and other major dairy producing areas, and also on the rainfall that they get. And we had significant drought here in Wisconsin last year that was in part associated with those climate kinds of effects. We're likely to see some continuation of that going forward here, although there is some sign that we might see some change and go back to something that's a little bit more neutral and maybe less detrimental to dairy production in the U.S. and also in other parts of the world. So there are a lot of wild cards hanging out there that could affect up or down, that margins are probably going to be about average that we need to keep an eye on. Another thing that is probably important for folks to think about is the Farm Bill. The update on that is that most people are saying we may not even get that Farm Bill revised this year. The current extension of that Farm Bill runs through September of 2024. Probably is optimistic to think about making changes to that by that time period. We're likely to see maybe another extension, and trying to get this done in a presidential election year could also be a little bit of a political challenge, so we're going to have to see about that. But I think the bottom line for dairy is that I have not heard people talking about major changes to some of the key programs, the dairy margin coverage or the dairy revenue protection programs. Those, despite the fact that we actually spent a fair amount of money on DMC payments in 2023, seem to still have political support and will be going forward.
That was Chuck Nicholson, UW-Madison Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences professor. He is conducting ongoing research about different dairy-related topics through the Dairy Innovation Hub and says his goal is to continue to generate knowledge that is useful for the entire dairy industry. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJ.
Fully leaded education talk. Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Like a and touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Really complain about, even with the, I know we've got a lot of babies that are being born this time of the year out on the farm. In fact, feel free to send me pictures of your babies if you'd like. You can use our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Love to see the pictures of the babies in your barn. But Stu, that mud quotient is getting higher around Wisconsin. Of course, nothing like what those poor folks in California are still living with. Is it still raining out there?
It's still raining. You know, inches of rain is what they continue to talk about. And not that it's going to be letting up all that much, but that Pacific River just aimed on them. That's going to aim toward us as well as we head toward late in the week, Pam, but not with inches of rain. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's not all bad. I did hear out toward the Four Corners region in the Rockies,
yeah,
they could see up to 2 feet of snow in the next day or so.
Man, you know, it's like, be careful what you wish for. They have been so concerned about moisture levels. Now the catch is, will they be able to hang on to it, or is it all going to end up, you know, someplace they can't control it?
Well, that's it. Run off and gone and
yep.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, around here, we are also expecting rain a little bit later this week. Mostly, I can't get over these temperatures, Stu. Buck was checking on weather yesterday. He said Hayward was 51 degrees yesterday. There can't be any snow on the ground up there.
Or it's in really poor shape. How about that? Turns into those ice crystals and just doesn't turn into anything anymore. Yeah, really mild. Western Wisconsin becoming really mild. Fog in the east again this morning. Dense fog advisory. Rock and Walworth County and Janesville and right up into Dodge and Waukesha. Fond du Lac County as well. Winnebago County back into Washera County. Waupaca, Shawnee County, all the way up into far northeast Wisconsin, all under that dense fog advisory. Till about 10 this morning in the eastern parts of the state. With all of that fog, of course, you know, lack of visibility could freeze on a little later this morning on your windshield. Be careful heading out in the eastern part of the state. The west is going to get a lot warmer today. Once again, pushing up into the 50s. There's that talk of threatening record highs at La Crosse and Rochester and up along the Mississippi River. So expect some very mild air. But when rain arrives later in the week, I'll tell you this, the maps I've been seeing indicating a little heavier bullseye, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, could be talking some half-inch amounts or a little more in those areas. The rest of us, a tenth of an inch, the possibility. And that could develop as we make our way on toward Thursday or last toward Thursday night. I'll have forecast details right after this.
With the Compeer Financial Patronage Program, we share earnings with member owners of our cooperative. It's our way of saying, we are here. Here so you can pay down your loan faster or make a new investment in your operation. And that family vacation you've been putting off? Yep, we're here for that too. Learn more at compeer.com/patronage. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
You hear that? That's the sound of Dairyland Seed bringing the yield bigger and better than ever before. We're talking our best corn of all time, our strongest silage lineup ever, and the greatest soybeans in our history. We're talking a full lineup of seed proven to outperform the competition once again in independent head-to-head trials. See the performance data for yourself at showmetheyield.com. That's showmetheyield.com.
All right, buddy, show me the forecast. What do we got to deal with today?
Well, in the east, it's the fog. The dense fog advisory till 10 could be a little fog, even in central Wisconsin, maybe some freezing fog for a short spell. And later today, more partly sunny skies. In the east, lower mid-40s. In the west, even around 50 today, with the south winds 5, maybe gusting toward 10. Mostly cloudy overnight, a little fog in the eastern part of the state again as we drop back to freezing or just below, south winds at 5. Mostly cloudy skies on Wednesday. A lot of mid and upper 40s east, in the low 50s in the west. Some records possible. South winds about 5 to 10. And then that rain chance developing even late Wednesday night in the west. Thursday further east, mostly cloudy, rain a tenth of an inch or so Thursday into Thursday night. But in the 50s with the rain on Thursday, Pam, south wind stronger, 15 to 25, a little gusty. Going to seem a little less nice with that wind, but there will be some rain as we wrap up the week, and then we cool it slightly to head toward the weekend.
All right, buddy. We'll talk about volumes on that rain tomorrow, okay?
Gotcha.
Stumacher Ag Meteorologist with weather details that you're looking for. Like I said, we'll take your barnyard baby pictures if you want to send them. 877-301-FARM. That's our talk text line, 877-301-3276. Hey, part of the five items we're bringing to you this morning includes recognizing Brian Klubertanz, a pork producer from Waterloo. He was given the Distinguished Service Producer Honoree Award at the recent Wisconsin Pork Association's Porkapalooza up in Wisconsin Dells last week. He and his family are on their Farrow to Finish operation in Waterloo, served two terms on the Wisconsin Pork Association Board of Directors, and was their treasurer. Congratulations.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on AM 1400 and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report. Country music star Toby Keith has died.
I should have been a cowboy.
His family announced his death on his social media sites last hour. Keith had been fighting stomach cancer and told CBS affiliate KOTV recently his Christian faith helped him get through treatments.
I was diagnosed in October of 21, and I was going through all the chemo and the first time I'd been through chemo and radiation surgery. And I just got to a point where I was comfortable with whatever happened. I had my brain wrapped around it, and I was in a good spot either way.
The 62-year-old started out as a rodeo hand, worked the oil fields in Oklahoma, and played semi-pro football. He went on to create 42 top 10 hits. 20 of them hit number one on country music charts. His website says Keith died peacefully, surrounded by his family. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
A Wisconsin man convicted of pepper spraying police officers during the January 6th attack of the U.S. Capitol argues he should get a shorter sentence. Federal prosecutors say 41 months in prison is appropriate, but lawyers for Riley Casper of Pulaski says he's matured over these last 3 years. Casper is set to be sentenced on Tuesday. Democratic presidential primary voters in Wisconsin will have a choice after the state Supreme Court Friday ordered Dean Phillips' name to appear on the April ballot. Phillips says the justices made the right call for democracy.
It's so much less about my campaign and just so much more about how we Americans practice democracy and whether we should allow our two big parties to suppress it.
Phillips on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks hit a sour note against the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Utah, 123-108. The Jazz ending a three-game losing streak with a rally in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee. Doc Rivers on facing Utah's best defenders.
We anticipated it, but we thought we could make enough shots to keep their bigs off the floor. We just couldn't.
Rivers, by the way, named the head coach of the NBA's Eastern Conference team in the All-Star game later this month. In Madison, the Badgers battled but lost to number 2-ranked Purdue 75-69. Wisconsin's Greg Gard asked if he still thinks they're one of the top teams in the nation.
Yeah, I think we're one of the best teams in the country. You know, there's parity across college basketball. You know, I've seen a lot of them now and played against a lot of the non-conference ones. And you want to compete with the best with the goal that you want to be the best. You know, it's not just about playing with them. You want to conquer them.
NFL, the Packers have hired former Rams and Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion to serve as an assistant coach on offense. Tom Clements, who turned 71 this year, is expected to continue as the quarterback's coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have some patchy fog out there again this morning. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly cloudy here throughout the day. Today, our high 42 this afternoon with wind out of the south at around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, down to 33. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47. On Thursday, a little light rain with a high near 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram. I'm Earl Ingram. It's Black History Month. I'm honored to welcome some special guests to talk about it. Professor Bob Harvey will be here this Thursday, February 8th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll discuss black history like only Professor Bob Harvey can, and you can be part of the conversation too.
Don't miss the Earl Ingram Show with special guests throughout Black History Month here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on Air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on AM 1400, 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old, we're the comedians line?
that's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the thinking, comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something. But sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on in.
Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Well, what's happening?
Yes.
Also, I don't know if you saw it, Mahomes' front. His brother, obviously unsavory character, but now his dad got a third Dewey over the weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, he apparently can get, like, 2 to 10 years for that, like a third DUI, and I think it was in Texas.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, honestly, not a lot of blue skies for Wisconsin today. A lot of clouds will remain, but so will mild temperatures. 42 are expected high today. Tomorrow, 48. Thursday, showers in the afternoon. Daytime highs, 53 degrees. Unbelievable. I'm Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us. On this, the 6th day of February, what can I tell you? On this day in 1959, the first microchip is patented. For that invention, Jack Kirby was awarded the 2000 Nobel Prize in Physics. First microchip patented on this day in 1959, and it's changed our world ever since. Kind of interesting, if you're old school radio, on this day in 1951, radio commentator Paul Harvey was arrested for trying to sneak into Argonne National Laboratory. That was a nuclear test site 20 miles west of Chicago. I did not know that about Paul Harvey. That happened on this day in 1951. Happy birthday to former news anchor Tom Brokaw. 84 years young today, and now you know. Wisconsin is getting ready to welcome students from around the Upper Midwest for the Midwest Dairy Challenge Regional Contest. It's going to be happening in the Green Bay area beginning tomorrow through the 9th. I had a chance to talk about it with Ted Halbach, a dairy instructor on the UW-Madison campus and one of those that's invested a lot of time and energy into pulling together the Midwest Dairy Challenge. And contrary to its name, what we're finding more and more is the contestants in the Midwest Dairy Challenge don't come from a dairy background. And Halbach says that's not all bad.
Actually, some of the most outstanding students that I've had a chance to work with in Dairy Challenge did not grow up on farms and did not have that dairy experience. They used their educations to learn about this industry. They sought out applied opportunities through internships and things of that sort. And at the end of the day, you know, they're some of the most talented, capable people working in our industry today. So, you know, I think it takes all of these people because obviously we have a dynamic industry and, you know, it takes talent to run a farm. And that talent, some of it's on farm, some of it is who's consulting for this farm.
Ted Halbach, again, a dairy instructor from the UW-Madison campus and one that's been very, very involved in the history of the Dairy Challenge. He notes that they're making some changes this year to try to broaden their appeal for sponsors. This year, they're reaching out to individual dairy farms that might be looking for quality employees. Perhaps those competing at the Midwest Dairy Challenge could fit the bill.
Most of our sponsors have been allied industry, genetics companies, nutrition companies, the processors. But we came up with this kind of a novel idea because, you know, a number of producers have reached out to us. Can you, you know, we need to hire a herds person that can maybe elevate into a management role. And, you know, can you send me resumes or how do we meet them? And so we came up with an idea of sponsor a student. And so farms can, for $650, that's what it costs, basically, to send these students through this experience. They can donate at that level. And in turn, all of those, all of the resumes for the students attending the Midwest Dairy Challenge would be accessible to that producer or sponsor. Mm. And so, you know, to me, Dairy Challenge is so much about workforce development. And, you know, in Wisconsin, all the tech schools, the River Falls, Platteville, Madison, they're all sending students, right? And so it's a really targeted group. So if, you know, to me, they're exactly the kind of people that dairies or these dairy-related companies would be looking for. So to be involved, either, you know, we have mentors that help the students. So a chance to meet them one-on-one in many cases, or just having access to the resumes. You know, to me, that's a pretty invaluable opportunity. But again, it's really kind of an understanding of what is Dairy Challenge, and that's what I'm really trying to accomplish here, is to get that understanding. So, and the role that it plays, and you know, Pam, besides just the technical dairy skills, what's the other piece that these students come out with? Soft skills. So at the Midwest Regional, unlike the national contest, these students are broken up. And aggregate teams are formed. So a Madison student might be with a Minnesota student, might be with a Northeast Wisconsin Technical College student, and they're on teams of four or five. And so that kind of forming, storming, and then, you know, working as a team to resolve what it is that you want to present is so critical. And it mirrors real life, right? We get thrown into these teams all the time, and you're not always with your buddies or your friends. You have to walk on a farm either as a consultant or you're the producer, and these teams are critical. And so to me, that's another part of this experience.
Ted Halbach again with the Midwest Dairy Challenge coming to the Green Bay area beginning tomorrow through the 9th of February. If you're one of those dairy farms that would like to possibly get your hands on these talented young people's resumes, or you'd like to learn more about the Midwest Challenge in general, go to dairychallenge.org, dairychallenge.org. Markets holding firm in overnight electronic trade. Numbers are next.
Innovation.
We know you work hard every day to keep your livestock healthy and run an efficient operation because there's no such thing as a snow day. Take time this winter and consider BioVet, your trusted partner in helping you raise stronger, healthier animals and to protect your bottom line. The knowledge and support from our team can help you make the difference in keeping your livestock healthy. Call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, on the way in just a moment. Hang on. Last week, the cattle industry got together in Orlando, Florida for CattleCon. One of the big conversations is the small size of our U.S. beef herd. Kevin Good's paying attention to it. He's vice president of market analysis for Cattle Facts, and he said this is not a boat that's going to get turned around soon.
Obviously, Mother Nature is going to be the major headwind and has been the last couple of years to expand this cow herd. And, you know, it'll happen. You know, it might take longer than we'd all like. We've gone through 5 years of liquidation. And frankly, we're kicking the can down the road another year because of the weather that we've experienced the last 12 to 18 months. So you get about 40% of your feedlot population's heifers, and your cow slaughter, even though it's substantially below a year ago levels, it's still at a liquidation pace. So we are going to liquidate, in our opinion at least, mildly in 2024, and then would expect that we can start rebuilding the herd as we go forward from there.
Kevin White, Vice President of Market Analysis with Cattle Facts, he said that consumers are going to find a threshold they're comfortable with as far as their price they'll pay at the grocery store. He said industry needs to pay attention to it even while we kick the can down the road as far as our overall beef herd numbers. More on that, I'm sure, with John Heinberg in just a moment. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are actually pretty quiet. The Dow Jones Industrial Average continues to trade in the red. Right now, the corn market's quiet. March corn's unchanged. December new crop up a penny, currently at 479. March beans are down a penny. November new crop, currently 2.5 lower at 1174. July wheat's down a penny right now at 601. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese managed to gain 4 cents at 159. 40-pound block cheese, AA butter, both unchanged. March milk this morning of the class 3 variety, that's down 3 at 777. 1974, 100 weights. Coming up next, John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. What's the market talking about this morning outside of the California weather? Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
It's fully leaded education talk. Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM, WRJN, and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
WRJN.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. John, I want to go back to last week's big cattle inventory report. You called it like you saw it, and that's exactly the numbers we saw. Historic lows as far as our cattle numbers, both for cows as well as calves. Market's still paying attention to that this week, right?
Very much so. Very much a focus of the marketplace in terms of where things are and the, you know, even the money flow into the market. Does it get some of the outside investor money back in because the fundamental story is there? You know, I'm not going to go over the numbers too much in detail because they've probably been beaten up pretty good since those numbers come out with those types of values. But the biggest thing we got to watch, though, is the forecasted slaughter for next year. And right now we're looking at slaughter about a 4 to 5% decline. That's going to be kind of back to those 2015 levels and where we are there. And that's the last time we had this run out. So this cattle run's probably still likely in place. The biggest thing I think we'll have to focus on in the cattle market with the fundamental story is going to still be the consumer. And is the consumer dollar there? Is the economy strong enough for the consumer dollar to step forward and pay for the more expensive beef? It looks like the demand so far is still in that window. You know, that'll be the thing that could be the limiting factor in prices overall, because obviously the supply is not there. It's just going to be how much can the consumer take on to keep to match that production or lack of production to keep prices supported.
Yeah, exactly. And like we said, the next big step that we're going to have to cross is the threshold for consumers in this. You know, without them, markets don't really matter. And now there's a lot of suggestion at CattleCon last week that that threshold's coming in sight.
Very much so. I mean, there are concerns about the economy in terms of the consumer. You look at the amount of debt that's getting built up in the credit card side of things. You know, the money that was just not available a couple of years ago, or that was available a couple of years ago, is gone, you know, in that regard. So that's going to be the big piece of the puzzle here. You know, producers are going to be able to put more weight on cattle with cheaper grain. So that'll help on the meat production side overall, too, even though it's still going to be a decline. You know, there's some other variables out there that are going to be part of this puzzle. Just because of the lack of numbers, we can still produce some heavier cattle than we did 10 years ago in 2015. You know, that can easily kind of help compensate for some of the lack of supply in terms of number of head.
Right. Let's leave the cattle for just a moment and pivot towards what we feed them, and that is that corn and bean situation. USDA continuing to monitor. I mean, we talk about the crazy weather we've got in Wisconsin and California. USDA is keeping an eye on what's going on in South America. Any weather changes there that are impacting their harvest or their planting?
You know, right now the weather in Brazil continues to be favorable for harvest. Obviously, with the dry conditions, the crop is very mature quickly. They're up to 16% harvested, according to one analyst group. So around that same window, that's well ahead of last year's pace. That's allowing them to get the corn in the ground very quickly, which is a key for them in that second crop corn because of the weather windows they're trying to hit there. Big talk the last couple of weeks has been Argentina. Argentina's got a potential bumper crop coming, but also the weather's turned hot and dry. That's some of the reason I think the market stabilized here. And we'll have to continue to watch. Some forecasts are out there for some moisture to come in. If those get realized, that could take some of the, you know, put some pressure back into this market. We got USDA numbers coming out here again on the 8th or Thursday, and we're going to watch very, very closely. It's not about the U.S. numbers here, other than some line adjustments on the demand side. It's going to be about what they're doing with that South American crop. You know, we're still looking at Argentina pushing 50 million metric tons of soybeans, 55 million metric tons of corn, which would be a record corn crop for those. It's Brazil, you know, right now the USDA is saying 157 million metric tons, but we expect that number to come down. You're hearing more of a range close to that 150 window, but I don't think the USDA will go that far yet on this report. They have a tendency to slow play those things. So those will be probably the biggest numbers on that report Thursday is how they handle the South American crop.
So, you know, I mean, like we said, this is always in play. What's got to happen for us to see or get traction in this market, John?
You know, right now it's going to be tough just because of those supplies, even though they're reduced according to first expectations, they're coming to the pipeline. And that's still the area that's makes it the most difficult for us on the soybean side, is the fact that they just got prices so low right now that we are competitive on the export front. Again, we'd have to see some major reductions. You know, even right now with the reductions we're expecting, we're still going to see a larger supply of soybeans out of South America than last year with that improved Argentina production. You know, so it's just going to be a bit of a tough road right now in terms of the soybean crop, for sure, in terms of price, just because those supplies are coming at us. Corn, we've got a little bit more time, you know, but again, for most of these, as I talk to my clients, I think it's a little more of a fall story as those export bushels disappear. The U.S. is back in play come September, October, November, you know, to get some bushels moving again as those South American tighter supplies can fall apart quickly. And then it leaves us the only game in town, especially for soybeans.
Long time to carry, though, my friend.
Unfortunately, it is, and that's where the use of call options and things of that nature come into play. You have to make some sales, cover bills, you know, to get some money flow, keep your ownership in this market just in case things don't come together for our crop or that demand comes. Having that re-ownership into the fall over top of sales that you've made might be a very key play this year, especially if the market were to respond that way.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, our guest this morning, joining us live. TotalFarmMarketing.com. And always remember their 800 number. He'll follow up on any conversation you want to have. 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. Well, I got you, John. I do want to address the weather situation. California, I mean, this is something that could impact not just our row crops, not just dairy, but also fresh fruits and vegetables we depend on from California. What are you hearing in the marketplace? Anybody responding to the weather that they've been dealt, or is it so localized it's not a big deal?
At least at this time frame, it's localized. In terms of the futures market, obviously the milk market's had a nice run the last handful of days here, kind of peaking out now. I think that was anticipation of this weather coming in. You know, we did see some strength in some of the products and things of that nature, but not to put a dollar plus into the milk market. You know, again, so it turns into a bit of a weather story with the possibility of maybe some disruptions. To me, again, also weather markets are opportunities for producers, so make sure you're taking advantage of it here because the milk market likes to take away value very, very quickly if once weather stories are realized or you know, the issues move past. So that's about the only thing I've seen, at least in terms of the futures market at this time. Obviously, the food and vegetable side of it, you know, that could have lingering stories well into the spring.
All right, buddy. Catch up with you next week. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live every Tuesday to let you know what's happening in the marketplace. As I said to you before, though, this market changes on an hourly basis. You want to talk to him? He's happy to visit with you. Go to their website, TotalFarmMarketing.com. You'll find John's biography, his smiling face, as well as his email, JohnH@TotalFarmMarketing.com, or pick up the phone, 800-334-9779, 800-334-9779. John Heinberg along with us. All right, everybody, enjoy this weather. See you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Secretary of Agriculture on the concept of food as medicine. Today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to Right Spot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was part of a panel discussion at last week's Health and Human Services Food as Medicine Summit.
My point of view is, I think, somewhat couched by the fact that I lost my parents at a very early age from disease, which no doubt probably was indeed related to environmental and food issues. So there's a personal reason for being engaged in this. I think there's also a recognition that as we learn more about the science behind food and its capacity to, in fact, be medicine, we can indeed reduce the risk of chronic disease in this country, which obviously will have an impact on the individuals who will live healthier lives.
Vilsack says the idea of food as medicine can benefit farmers, giving them more diversity in the ways they produce foods and market them.
It will also have an impact on our capacity to fund other aspects of our economy. We spend a great deal of government funding and, frankly, of our own individual finances on healthcare and healthcare insurance. To the extent that we can be a better consumer, if you will, reducing the risk of chronic disease, we can also, I think, free up resources that can then go into building a healthier and stronger country and world.
There's a link to video recordings from the HHS Food as Medicine Summit on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is Don Rosen. We're talking to local guests with lifestyle and important information for you. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, Hometown Radio, refreshed.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.